Hello?
Two best friends who were really great. One just up and moved away. Determined to maintain their relations, engage in stimulating conversations.
Phony and Collie!
Phony and Collie!
Phony and Collie Show!
Hello.
Hi. All right. I'm in my bedroom.
This actually sounds good.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Have you been harboring feelings about my poor audio this whole time?
Yes. This is the day of massive revelations of our hidden resentments.
Yeah, this is my old computer in my bedroom, which is maybe the worst place for Wi-Fi in the house, and you'll get a better performance than my fucking new computer Ethernetted into the wall.
I mean, it's pretty crazy when you think about it that we're this far into, like, oh, are you frozen?
No.
Oh, Jesus, you scared me.
Just still, I'm just centered.
I tell you, I don't even know. I don't know when things are frozen and when things are, just you being a little relaxed.
I'm frozen now.
Will you stop?
No, I'm frozen. Well, I'm stop not frozen, it. But I might freeze. I really hope I don't
free. Stop it. this self-tape. Now, I just watched my self-tape back, by the way. I just wanted to update everyone with a little conversation today involving self-tape. I did. Not as bad as I thought.
It rarely is.
Not as bad as I thought watching it back. I was actually surprised at how... I guess able I would be as a bad sitcom actor.
Yeah. Usually it is better than you thought it was going to be. Sometimes you're like, oh, this sucks. Should I do it again? And then you have to war with yourself between laziness and standards. And usually laziness wins.
I mean, I really, if I get it where I'm like, I did it, I immediately am done. I stop.
I mean, if you see some of the self-tapes these people do, they're on their laptop with a fan going in the background. They're silhouetted. I'm not watching self-tapes all the time, but they don't give a shit.
You look
if they
so
like you,
thin,
they'll hire
by the
you.
Way.
I am thin. I'm not as thin as I could be, but...
You also have stringy, muscular arms like your father now.
I know. I have my father's body. It's
so
weird.
You do. You have your father's, like, angular, bony muscle body.
You know how strange it is to reach down and grab your father's cock between your legs? Do you know how odd that sensation is?
I guess we all have our father's cocks.
To reach down and go,
well,
Dad?
Well, you could, you know, like baldness, they say, comes from your mother's father. So it is possible you have grandpa's cock.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, we didn't even get 3 minutes and 40 seconds
into
this.
I got grandpa's fucking scabby old cock right here. Fucking corpse cock. My mom's sick. This is funny. My mom's sick.
Oh, no.
Living with us.
Okay.
Odin has a cold. And I think he gave it to her. And there's two things that are funny. One, we did a COVID test, a rapid test for her today. And it came back negative. But I gave her, you know, we have those free government tests.
Yeah.
I gave her the swab. I put it all together. There's two types. I don't know how familiar you are with the government test.
I haven't done the government one yet.
One of them comes with the solution already together. You just put the swab in the solution and cap it and then drip it.
Yes, I've had that one.
The other one, they make you pour the solution into the thing. It's weird how they did it two ways. But so I prepared the solution. I did all that. I gave the swab to my mom. I said, here, 15 seconds in each nostril, and then hand it back to me. She says, okay. She goes away. Then she starts like cooking on the stove or something. I was like, hey, are you done with that swab? Oh, yeah, yeah. Here it is. Hands me back the swab drenched in blood. I was like, mom, can you not stick something up your nose without getting blood on it? She's like, ah, it's fine. It's fine. It doesn't matter. I was like, is this, does this affect the test at all? Like,
yes.
What? She was like, it doesn't say anything in the instructions about it. I was like, I think there's a, it also doesn't say like, don't like dip it in dog shit before you test it either. There's like a,
I think the blood might affect the test.
Well, she doesn't have COVID.
That's what you're sticking by?
That's what I'm sticking by. She does have hepatitis.
I mean, that's, does she often get nosebleeds?
I guess. I think she picks her nose a lot.
Oh, well. There's a, I'm really getting a full...
Oh, it's totally where I learned it.
Yeah.
It's totally. She would sit.
You got a dad up. Bob and a ma nose.
I got a dad Bob. You like my dad Bob hair?
I just said you got a dad Bob and a ma nose. That's a t-shirt.
My mom would sit propped up in bed. She loves eating her own boogers. She would sit propped up in bed. Reading a book. She loves a good book, and she loves snacking on her own boogers. I would hear her from the, so cozy, up in bed, propped up in bed, from the other room, just. She covers one nostril, does a couple of like prime the pump blows, and then she can reach up and get it. Nothing she loves more than munching on a chewy, wet booger while she reads some Michael Crichton. Fuck. That Andromeda strain all over the place.
I started to get a little sick, I gotta tell you.
I saw you shift. I saw you purse and shift.
You will. Here's the thing. This goes back to Harbolite preschool. Maybe second year Harbor preschool? Light? Harbolite. It was called Harbolite preschool. It's a Montessori.
You said that so Massachusetts. You were like, Harbolite.
Harbolite preschool. That's what we called it, Harbolite. It was just North of Peabody. Just North of Peabody, I should say.
Chris North of Peabody.
Chris North of Peabody. He sexually assaulted everybody in the town.
That's why they called it Peabody.
Because he pissed all over them after.
After? After what?
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
But the kid, there was a kid in my class, and I remember being out in the playground, so I had to be four, and this kid like was like, look at this, and he picked his nose, and he ate it.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I remember, and this is the thing, at 4 years old, I was the same person I am now. I looked at him and went, I was like, what did you just do? He's like, I ate my booger. And I was like, what the fuck? I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like the 4-year-old's equivalent of like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And I remember in my brain being like, oh, this, like these people, most of them are totally bizarre. And that was when I made the conclusion that almost most people you encounter are worthless and bizarre. Mm-hmm. Now, not because you pick your nose. I just want to say that. But it was the way, like it wasn't just, he was like, do you want to see what, da, da, da? Like he was like an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And he did this disgusting thing in front of me. And I just was like, that's it. I don't think most people are for me. That's what I sort of took from that. And I've carried that up my whole life.
I'm trying to think what my memory of that is. But so have you never partaken?
I've never eaten my own booger. ever.
It's so funny. It's so, it's the perfect consistency.
Mm.
It's a little salty, sometimes a little sweet.
Oh, God damn it.
It's chewy with a crunchy core. Sometimes it gets stuck on your teeth. Like, sometimes you can't get it off your teeth. You got to use your finger to get it off your teeth. And then you slide it back on your tongue.
Come on.
Conversely, picking my nose is one of those things, and eating it, is one of those things where I definitely had moments very young going, everybody else is fucking worthless and not worth it. But then also picking my nose and eating it is one of those things where it's like, how's nobody on board for this? Like, literally, nobody's on board. It's me and my mom against the world. Nobody likes it. Not my wife, not my friends. Nobody I've ever met likes it. It's just me and my mom. And we're sticking, and it's like, you know, one of those stories about, like, they were just them through everybody wanted them to change, but they were like ruggedly themselves and they prevailed. It's one of those, like,
you're like
everybody
Dee Dee Blanchard.
No.
It's like Dee Dee Blanchard and her fucking daughter. You two are our mommy dead and dearest.
Everybody told us no.
Yeah, I mean, you must prevailed. Have met a lot of resistance over the years from that kind of. I mean, listen, I pick my butt. I pick my butt and smell my finger.
Do you wash your hands after?
I mean, it depends.
It's through fabric, or it's like,
oh no, I'll touch the bare asshole.
You reach your hand in, and I know I'm being a hypocrite right now, but I'm sorry. You reach your hand into your pants?
No. Not pinch, like in the day. I wouldn't pinch, touch my asshole during the day. Just so we're clear. Not in the day. It'll be like after
it's
I've
like a
showered.
Night hunger thing, like a like, vampire.
Yes. Like at night. After I've showered, I might like pat my finger on my butthole a few times just to really check the cleanliness and then smell. And when it's clean, I'm like, that's clean. Perfect.
No need to wash.
Well, I've just washed.
No, you've just stuck your finger in your asshole.
Yeah, but that's a clean butt. It's not a dirty butt. But I have scratched my asshole before when it's been filthy in my own home.
And then what did you do?
Just continued fucking
you made
existing.
Dinner. Continue.
No, I always wash my hands before I cook.
Oh. So you believe there is such a thing as a clean asshole, as a fully clean asshole?
Yeah, right after you shower. As long as none of that anal gel creeps out.
I don't believe there's a fully clean asshole.
Really? You don't think when you scrub that thing with some water and soap and really get in there and then dry off that that asshole isn't clean?
I think immediately the bacteria repopulates.
I mean, if no duty's passing through there.
Duty's always passing through there. There's always
what?
Little... I say duty's always passing through there.
Oh, Yosemite
is what I say.
I say. There's duty.
I think you're thinking of Foghorn Leghorn.
I say that duty's passing through there.
Oh God.
I don't know. I mean, I think everybody has a disgusting thing they do, and most people don't obviously talk that much about it. Like, I like smelling my balls. I mean, my thing about it is, really do...
During yoga?
I don't do yoga.
How do you get to your balls?
I touch my balls, and then I smell my hand.
All right, egghead. Don't get into the weeds about it.
Shut the fuck up.
English, Dr. English.
I mean, I feel like here's my thing, is everybody does something gross. Everybody does something gross at least once a day. And... most people are lying about it. Most people are lying to you and saying they don't. And I know there are people listening right now who are like, I don't do that. Well, I don't do anything like that. And it's like, of course you do.
I don't stick my fingers up my asshole and eat my boogers all day. I work, goddammit. It's funny that you say they're lying about it. I don't think they're lying. I think people just don't like to... I think we are like, well, if that's what we do, we gotta be upfront about it. Like, there's something... Like, people... There seems to be a tacit agreement throughout society where people are just like, we understand that those things happen, and we, like, just... It's not the only thing we talk about. And we're like, why?
Why? But why? But it is true. Why? And also, here's the other one. I would rather we be more upfront about it, because what's happening is people are doing that and then they're making your salad at McDonald's, or they just came in to do your pitch meeting and they just like fingered their hands all over their cocks and then shook your hand.
Yeah.
Like
I hate it when they do that when I
gross.
Go to McDonald's for my fresh made sand tossed salad.
Stupid. Stupid fuck. And here's an example of my hypocrisy right here. Because I mispronounced something and you had fun. And I immediately make it aggressive.
What are you looking at?
I wanted to find something. I was trying to find something related to what we were just talking about. There's a place... Someone complained at some fast food place, but I can't remember the name of it. And the person came in the... Oh, at Red Robin. A Red Robin restaurant staff concealed semen in a salad after a Portland customer alleged racial discrimination.
So wait, the customer accused them of racial discrimination and they...
And they, in retaliation, came in their salad.
I love the choice of words concealed semen. Like, you're skipping so many steps to then get to the concealment.
And also, concealed semen gives such an image, like, such an image of someone, like, there's, like, cum, like, on a piece of cucumber, and you're, like, delicately, like... You're like moving the lettuce over and like putting a little couple of shredded carrot pieces, just making sure to conceal that cum.
Like a fucking pit, like one of those like Vietnam pits where you like fall in.
Yeah. What's it called? Like a drop trap or something, or a deadfall.
Deadfall?
Yeah. I think it's called a deadfall or a dead drop or something.
No, a dead drop is where you leave spy shit under the thing for the other guy to come get it. You leave the microfilm in the fucking trash can.
Hello? Hello? Is there somebody up there?
What?
Hello?
What?
Hey, come. Oh, God, thank God. Oh, God. Hey, come over here. Come to
what?
The edge.
What? What happened? What? Ah. Hello?
Oh, my God. I've been trapped down here for... Oh, God, I don't even know. It's got to be at least a day. Oh, thank God. Oh, the... Hi.
What? Hi?
Sorry, I'm forgetting myself. Hi, I fell down here, I think about a day ago. And, you know, it's a pretty open area. It's, you know, a field in upstate New York. And so you're the first person that's come by. Oh, I'm so glad to see you. You can help me get out of here.
Oh, God, you fell in this hole, you say?
Well, so I do some sort of odd work, and someone said that there was a dead drop here. And I think it was a dead fall, because I walked over to the tree and didn't see anything. And then there was all these leaves sort of piled up, and I walked over a bit and heard some snapping, and then I just fell into this pit, which seems to have dried semen all over the floor.
How would you be able to recognize that?
Well, it's a lot. You can, like, kind of smell it.
How do you know it wouldn't be, like, calcium deposits or something. Well, sorry. Do you want me to? I live just up the road. Do you want me to go get my ladder or a rope?
Yeah. A ladder or rope would be great. Oh, thank God. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. You know what? You're helping me. So my name is Dan, but my cover name is Blood Skull.
Your cover name is Blood Skull?
My code name.
Well,
my
that
cover
doesn't
name
mean anything
is Bert.
To me. So wait, you said you came here looking for a dead drop, but you found a pit? What line of work are you in, if you don't mind me asking?
All right.
Or should I go to my house and get the ladder? I will be several minutes, and you'll just be by yourself.
No. Well, I'll tell you the whole thing first. I mean, I
really?
Think you could probably just lean over and pull me up.
I guess I'd hate to fall in myself. I think I'll probably just go. You really need a ladder. It'll only take me like 10 minutes or so, but you will be completely by yourself for that time. Should I go?
No, you shouldn't go.
All right, I don't know why you'd make that decision, but
fine,
okay.
Go. You know,
no,
go.
Now I'm interested.
No. Go.
What'd you say your code name was? Blood Skull?
Yeah, my code name is Blood Skull. My real name is Tom?
I thought you said Dan.
Dan. Sorry, I had so many code names, and then Bert is the name above Blood Skull.
So you're like an operative or something?
Yes. I work for an unnamed intelligence agency within the Defense Department.
You won't name it or nobody's named it?
No, nobody's named it. We're actually, we call ourselves the No Names. That's sort of the name of the group.
That's a name. I'm sorry to...
Trust me.
You're saying there's no name, but that's a name.
We've had this argument many times around the coffee hutch.
Wow. That does sound like the government.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, we're saving your ass every day so that you can live free. I hope you know that.
Really? I'm about to drag you out of a hole on my back pasture.
I understand that, but that's just because someone confused the terms dead drop with deadfall. And maybe it was a typo in the communique. Maybe I've been set up. I'm not really sure.
Why would they have you go visit a pit in the ground?
I didn't think it was a pit. I thought it was a dead drop.
But why would they tell you, wait a minute, am I in danger? You don't plant a pit unless you're coming back.
I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, I think the danger... Listen, my spy instinct says they would have done
me
in.
Who's that? There's a car coming across the pasture with no headlights on.
Okay, get in the pit. Quick.
Get in the pit? No.
Get in the pit, quick.
I'm going to go behind the tree. I'm not going to get... you're trapped in the pit. I don't want to be trapped.
Well, cover me up. Cover me up. Quick.
Trying.
Oh, there's the doors.
These sticks aren't long enough. They're just falling into the pit. I'm hiding.
What?
I'm hiding. Shh. Well, if it isn't Agent Bloodskull, is that you, Bloodskull, down there? Or should I call you Dan? Or should I call you Bert?
You can call me whatever you want, Lazarus. But it's not going to change the fact that I will defeat you and your organization if it's the last thing I do.
How will you do that from down in a pit? I knew you wouldn't be able to resist a communique telling you about a dead drop, even though you didn't really have anything to even leave at the dead drop, did you? You just love visiting dead drops.
Oh,
but
Lazarus.
Here you are in a dead fall.
You're so petty. First off...
Ah, yes. That's the gaseous cum we laid down at the bottom. You're breathing in pulverized cum particles.
I knew it. So you did it. You finally found a way to fuse sarin gas with jism.
Yes. Stay still. Every time you move, you kick up more cum dust into your lungs.
What's your game? What's the play, Lazarus? I was coming out here because I did have something to drop in that dead drop, but you didn't know about it. So when I dropped in that dead fall, I was able to conceal my information somewhere near this dead fall, but in a dead drop I created on my own.
Are you talking about this?
Ooh! Yep, that's the knock list!
Of course, we've been monitoring this area. You don't dig a hole unless you need to plan to watch the hole. And now we have the knock list. We know every door to go knocking on.
Yeah, sure, if you could decode it, Lazarus. If you could decode it, then yes, maybe you'd have a chance to go find every secret door in every country around the world where our operations are taking place. But you don't know that code, because that code resides in my mind. And if I kick up more cum dust and inhale this cum fusion sarin gas, I'll be dead, and then those codes die with me.
Don't do it. Don't move. Freeze him. Use the freeze cum. Now you're held firm in solid cum.
What is with you and making everything with human jizz?
Everything is made with human jizz. That's how you were made.
Okay.
That's how I was made. And that's how that farmer was made. Come out, come out, Mr. Farmer Man.
Run! Run!
I don't want to have anything to do with this.
You killed him. You monster. People are just chess pieces to you, aren't they, Lazarus? You and your amorphous international organization that's bent on doing the same things that we do, but for another country, and therefore it's bad.
That's right. The AIO will always win over the no-names. AIO, Amorphous International Organization?
Yeah, I get it. I'm sorry, I'm stuck in a pile of foam cum while sarin gas is kicking up in my mouth.
And your farmer friend is dead. The solid cum bullet we shot him with will dissolve into his brain, and no one will ever know how he died.
Well, you find this pretty funny, don't you, Lazarus? Well, you won't find it funny when that farmer hits you in the head with a shovel!
Oh! Ha-ha! I did it! Yeah! Thank God that I had that metal plate in the back of my head from when I,
was hit in the head with a bolt gun by accident when you were
a child?
That's
right. Yeah, exactly.
Because we know who you are. Your name is Roger, right? Your real name? Roger De La Blues? The heir to the De La Blues Munitions Empire?
Yeah, Delabaloo's Munitions. It's gonna be a whole hullabaloo with Delabaloo's.
Well, we were sent here to protect you. The dead drop was a ruse. We needed to get you out in the open so that we could expose Lazarus for who he is. And now we got him thanks to you.
Wow. How'd you know that I was gonna survive and sneak back around and then hit Lazarus?
We didn't, Delabaloos. Sometimes in spycraft, you just gotta make a gamble. Now get me out of this frozen lump of cum.
Oh, it's gonna take a minute. I gotta go. Should I go get... Well, first, let me take care of...
He's gone.
Oh, my God. Wait a minute. That means... that if it's spy rules, he won't come back. He'll just rue it for another. He'll just He'll take revenge another day.
All right, well, to be continued.
I think so.
Yeah!
Wow.
We're really racking up the threads of stuff we got to bring back.
I know.
We got to bring back the dentist. We got to bring back these guys.
That's right, the dentist. I forgot about that. We haven't even done another Days and Nights of Patrick Stewart, yet we have a sting for it.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what else we have a stinging desire to do?
Our three-way segment?
Our three-way with our guest, Kelly Hudson. She's here joining us right now. She's logging in.
Hello.
She's here. She's recording.
Hi. Recording now.
Wow. Recording now. Wow.
Hi, old friends.
Our wildly funny, funny writer, funny performer. Thank you so much. We're sorry we had some issues earlier.
We couldn't get it.
Everybody's okay. There were some technical issues happening, and I didn't know where Tony was, and then we couldn't get it going.
My time frame.
We just. But thank you for being flexible and recording later.
Of course, yeah.
We love
you. It's
2 hours later.
It's okay. You know, I'm just bumming around Portland.
What are you doing in Portland?
I am on a solo road trip.
Whoa!
I am out here going crazy. I'm pregnant.
You are?
What?
I am. Yeah.
Is that real?
Is this the first announcement of this information?
Well, I did mention it briefly on an Instagram story the other day. But
doesn't count. This is the first release.
This is the real one. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
I started planning this trip before I knew I was pregnant, but this felt like, okay, I have to go. I have to take some time to be free, be me.
Now, but you know what? Were you going to go get high in Portland and then you're like, no, don't do that?
Well, I'm sure.
Oh, no.
I'm sure I would have gotten a little high in Portland. I would have done a little drugs on this trip for sure. But I didn't, and that's fine.
What a bummer.
Yeah, that's a bummer, man.
You're like, I was going to fucking take drugs when this baby came along.
Fucked up my life. Yeah. I already have a son at home that fucks up my life.
Jonah.
Yeah, Jonah. Jonah, my boy.
That's his code name.
Yes. No, that's really his name.
His code
Should
name
I not is, mention his real name?
His code name is Jonah. No, that's a choose your own adventure. That's the title of a choose your own adventure.
Oh, I know this book. Some person sent that to me.
Some fucking person was always sending me choose your own adventure books.
A guy from the comedy scene in New York sent it to me, and I can't remember his name right now, and I hope he's not listening.
Ew, that's gross. That's weird.
Like,
that's
as
a really
an overture of love?
I guess.
Absolutely.
He's like, here's this choose your own adventure I read when I was 11 and had scum on my face.
It reminded me of you. It's so good to see you both. I haven't seen either of you in a very long time. Anthony, I spent a lot of time watching you on television, but I haven't like seen your face in person in years.
Really?
Yeah.
We haven't seen each other out in LA in one of my whirlwind visits.
Maybe.
I don't know,
but
yeah.
Not that I
You'd
remember. I
think one of you would have a memory of it.
You would. Wouldn't you?
That is true. I guess it's been like, what, a decade then? Are you drinking out of a mustard bottle? Good for you. Wow,
in
pregnancy.
A mustard,
pregnancy's really crazy.
I know. Pregnancy brain. You're in a mustard-colored jacket.
My
drinking
cravings.
French's.
Off the charts.
No, it's just a water bottle. It's mustard-colored. But it does look like a cute little honey jar or something.
I mean, it really, it because of the sort of bevel at the top, it almost looks like a mustard bottle missing the squeeze top.
Yeah, it does.
That is incredible.
Bit. Yeah, it does. It's like a restaurant mustard bottle.
We will never let a sip go by on this podcast. This is
is
like the third or fourth time we've brought up, talked about the guest's water bottle.
What is this, a glass with a crane on it?
I know. Yeah, these are my shit. I bought these crazy bird glasses in
cute.
Rhinebeck.
Is it vintage?
No, they're like made now.
Okay.
I wish they were vintage.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a long time, I guess.
It has. Well, I was going to mention that I felt like your show, the President Show, was like the only bit of Trump comedy I could stomach. And it actually made
you
me feel better. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was really good. And then I was working at Funny or Die. I started working there like right before the election. And then I was like, oh, I can't wait till this election shit's done. I don't want to like do political humor or whatever. Yep. And then that happened. So
and
my
then
whole
another
job
4 years.
Was Trump garbage.
Yeah, that was the show. I mean, it was a mixed, you know, I've said a million times. It's like, it was a mixed blessing. It was a wonderful thing because I got to like do the things I wanted to do, but have the Trump thing. I got to have John and Neil come work. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
and play together. It was like a dream to be able to do that. And then have all these other writers who launched out of it. But it was a hard unwind.
Oh, I bet.
Like a hard unwind, like you're saying about, you know, Funny or Die, and like suddenly you're having to do it. It's like that thing where you sort of don't realize it till later.
Yeah.
You're
absolutely.
Like, ooh, that was not as good for my brain as I thought.
Yeah, it was real. It was really happening.
Yeah.
John, what are you doing over there? It seems like you've got dials going, like you're controlling like a control board.
No, I've got this.
You're just fiddling.
I'm just fiddling. I've got a hair gator thing, and I'm just squeezing it on my leg. Sorry to be conspicuously fiddling.
That's okay.
I don't want to.
I was like, what are you doing off camera?
No, I'm just sick. I'm gripping my shin with
playing with his thin shin.
Thin shin. Yeah, John, you look like a different person.
Thank you. I'm thin. We both lost, me and Anthony both lost 50 pounds
different
or over.
Men. Different men.
Diff men.
How does it feel?
Shitty.
Shitty?
Oh my God. Feels wonderful.
No, it feels great.
That's great. That's great.
It feels good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you've always been a fit bit in
that's
the sense
insane to hear. Because I don't feel that way. You don't know how people feel about themselves.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. I mean, I've lost 50 pounds and I still look in the mirror. Oh, I have like total body dysmorphia. Mm-hmm. I could look in the mirror and I go, I look old. I look like shit old and my body looks awful. Always. Mm-hmm. Never have ever had a good image of my body ever. Ever.
You've never been like, ugh, what a fox. Ever?
No, never.
Not a single time.
I've never looked in the mirror and been like, hey, good looking, ever.
I feel like that might be the case with most straight men, sadly. It just seems like there's not a lot of opportunities to find yourself sexy in the culture of straight men.
Really? Oh, you think that's true? I would say that I feel like most straight men are like such like detached dipshits that they look in the mirror and they're just like, hey, dude, pretty good. And they're like, you know, fucking have like massive like goiterous tumors coming out of their chin and shit.
Maybe I'm hanging around with the wrong guys.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, you've met the straight men that we know.
Yeah, we're hanging out with a bunch of bros.
Gorgeous.
I used to look in the mirror. I mean, I said this before, but like I would look in the mirror and be like, I look at like get myself at an angle and be like, yeah, this looks good.
What
and now
cutie.
I look at pictures of myself and I'm like, God, I was really huge in my 20s. And then I sort of thought of myself in the last 10 years or so as being like not as big.
Yeah.
But I just looked at pictures of myself from like 8 years ago, 6 years ago, and was like, God, I was big. I guess I went really up and down.
Yeah,
but like,
you don't even know what's going on the outside, really. You're just in your own body doing the best you can.
Yeah.
And I mean, at so many times in my life, I've thought I looked like shit. Like, from a very young age, I was like, always felt like I'm not a thin person. Like, I think it was because, like, my mom was a thin person, like super tiny, like a petite. And so like I went through like a super growth spurt in seventh grade. And like ever since I've just been like, well, I'm a big lady and that's my lot in life. And then I look back.
I talk
and
like this. I have this.
This is my personality.
My big
now.
Lady voice.
I guess this is what women sound like. Yeah. But I just, yeah, I have the same thing where I thought I looked like shit. And then I look at pictures and I'm like, oh, wow. To look that young and beautiful again.
It's so sad. I was like, thought of myself as such a chubby kid, like in kindergarten. I was like, I'm the fat kid. I look at pictures of myself, like, I look fine.
And you
fine.
Were a 5-year old.
I look fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
So sad. It is so sad. We have, that's why we have to love ourselves at every size. We have to remember that all of them are lovable sweeties.
Well, I think that this is the balance we've been trying to strike when we talk about this on the show, which is like,
it can be sensitive.
Yeah. Well, cause my thing is that I'm saying personally for me that there are things that for me more to do with, see, for me, it's about health primarily, which is like the cholesterol's down, the blood pressure's good. So for me, that's the zone of weight that I can be at. Like, I think each person has the zone they can be in. There are people I've met who, you know, are 250, 300, who are perfectly healthy, don't have any blood pressure issues and whatever.
Yeah.
I think as long as it's about your, in my view, just personally, if it's about, if it's within your health zone, you know, then whatever after that in terms of your visual, like how you appear, who cares? Because first off, there's a seat for every tuchus. People have attractions
in every
direction.
We're going to be
totally
augmented reality soon anyway.
Yeah, but everyone has an attraction. There's no shortage.
There's a seat for every ticket.
I love there's a seat for every ticket.
Listen, if
meaning that everybody finds something hot and you have no idea who's going to be knocking on your door.
I mean, if we removed a lot of our sexual shit we have, you know, people be fucking left and right and enjoying themselves.
It would be fucking filthy.
It's true.
It would. People just need to get over themselves and then they'll be having much better sex for sure.
Absolutely. By the way, speaking of that, I don't go to a Red Robin in Portland.
Why?
Well, a little article I just shared with John that in a Red Robin restaurant staff concealed semen in a salad after a Portland customer alleged racial discrimination.
When was this?
Let me see.
I hate the reasoning. I was like, so he concealed semen in a salad. And then I was like, oh, no.
This was
you've
a day,
accused me.
2 days ago.
I love, you've accused me of discrimination. And now here's what else I'm capable of. I will not be accused of discrimination, sir.
Not only that, but I'm able to get aroused enough to come into a salad that I will conceal. Holy shit. How does anyone find out about the semen? Like, semen.
Oh, don't you think you smell? I mean, I think if you had cum in a salad.
Everyone talks about the smell of semen. I've never quite detected a smell. I'm like, I smell penis. Like, there's like a fleshy, a little sweaty, a little touch of urine smell of penis. But I don't know if I can smell cum. People talk about that with the like flower blossoms in the spring and stuff. They're like, oh, the cum trees.
Oh, I think fresh cut grass. That's what cum smells like.
It's a very subtle.
Whenever I've like, you know, whenever I've had a miss shot onto my hand or something.
You're like, oh.
I'm like, well, someone mowed the lawn.
Quite refreshing.
Slip it into
spring.
A julep. Now,
John,
Kelly, you
else?
Were so nice. When our very first very episode
nice. Oh God.
Of this podcast aired, I was on an airplane, actually. And I got off the airplane, and my phone, you know, reconnected. And yours was the first. I was like, oh, I hope people are liking the podcast. It was such a nice message the day
that we... I loved the podcast, and I haven't stopped listening. I've definitely missed a few, but I really
do. Why? That doesn't
Whoa.
Right?
Excuse me.
You're vacationing in Portland. It seems like you have the time to plan alone trips to travel around.
I do have a lot of time in the car. I should have caught up. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Well, that's interesting.
I really love the show, though. It's so funny. Johnny's Game, even though it stresses me out tremendously, I still listen to it.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're going to play it today.
Yeah, you're going to play it.
I'm so scared of Johnny's Game. But yes, I reached out because and you brought this up on the show later. You were like, Kelly texted me and said I might have ADHD.
Yeah,
and
you were like, oh, I love the show. Not only do I love the show.
I sound insane.
I love the show. And I think you have ADHD just hearing it.
Okay.
What do you think
First of all, I still do. Well, it's interesting because you guys mentioned... I have a friend that recently got diagnosed with ADHD and OCD. So it's not like you can have, it's just one or the other, because I remember you guys had that discussion.
The symptoms do sound at odds, though, some of them.
Some of them, yes. It's interesting, though, because, so I just had gotten diagnosed with ADHD, right, basically when I contacted you.
Congratulations.
And so I was like, everybody has. but there were definitely these like similarities of like things that I had in common with you about things you said in that first episode. I can't even remember, but it was like something about not being able to start projects if they felt too big or something like that. And it's just like so many things in my life have been tripped up by that. And I just didn't have any reason, so I just thought I was a piece of shit, like, for my, like, I was just thought I was, like, lazy. I just thought I was lazy.
I feel.
And I felt like I was, like, random and an asshole, and, like, I would just say things, and people would be like, what are you talking about? And, like, you know, I just felt different and crazy, and it was really hard. And I was like, if some people that don't have this diagnosis could get it and it could change their life like it changed mine, then that would be really great. And what if that is what's wrong with John Gimberling?
I know. Well, I'm hearing it thinking about kidding. I'm hearing a conversation John and I had today. I think about what sort of things I have that are baked in that hold me back that then put me in positions where I am putting myself in the position of doing something last minute of, you know, I have a lot of things I tell myself are like, well, I have to feel it out and kind of, well, I'll do this when I'm ready or I'll say, well, I wrote, you know, or like other things that are personal to me. I'll be like, well, I have the idea in my mind. As soon as I get it set at a certain point in my mind, then I'll put it down.
Right.
And I never do.
Yes.
You know, and
same thing.
Now I'm wondering if some of the collateral damage that John suffers is from my own learning disability.
Yeah. It's like we all have, I think it's so common amongst creative types, and it can be a superpower because it turns the other way. Sometimes we have hyper-focus, especially on something that's really emotionally riveting or like intellectually stimulating, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like we can just put that energy into making something really, really brilliant. And I mean, that's why I was so attracted to improv. It's like, I wanted to write sketch comedy for so long and just like never got my shit together. And then I was like, oh, I can just write it on stage and do it on stage and then never think about it again and it's done.
Yes. Improv spoils you for creative work because you're like, you do anything else. You're like, this is't easy and immediate.
I know.
Like,
can I just show up at 11
anything.
And leave?
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry, say that again, John.
You say it one more time, John.
You had a little hiccup.
Yeah, you had a little hiccup.
Oh, what did I say? Just like...
Your mind is erased. ADHD, there we are.
Easy, it's easy. I mean, Kelly, I remember you're a great improviser, by the way. I want to say that.
Thank you.
I coached, or I never taught you, but I think I coached teams.
No, I really wanted to take your class, though. I remember hearing it was like super trippy and like psychedelic and like cool, and he uses like weird tactics and like I was really into that. I was like, oh, that would be really fun.
I was teaching my own thing in that school.
Which I like.
I mean, I think I've said this too. The track record of people who came out of that meditation course who are now successful and not, I mean, in a monetary necessary way, but like are successful in the pursuit of what they wanted is like a crazy high percentage.
So wait, a meditation course is what you were in?
No, or I taught.
You were teaching a meditation course.
Yeah, I just came up with this basically hypnosis device. I mean, all it is.
Oh my God,
I
want you to do it on me. Do it.
It takes about 45 minutes, and it's
the device,
and it's a process. I'm thinking of actually recording it as an audio piece and giving it to people if they want to do it.
Oh yeah,
but it's nothing magic. It's just tricking the brain. That's all.
Yeah, which is great. I love stuff like that. I dabbled in getting hypnotized. Mm. I was
hypnotizing you.
Yeah, because. Oh. I did this really high dose mushroom trip in 2019. And then I was like, bro, past lives, 100%. I'm into it. And then I wanted to get hypnotized to get like this past life hypnotism regression.
Like regression. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And, you know, I know hypnotism works on me because there was this like test that she did that she asked me. She didn't, like, whatever, say snap or whatever, but she asked me to open my eyes and I couldn't. And then when she snapped, I could or whatever, and that was the terms of it. And I was like, oh, fuck, it really physically, like, works.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
She was like, every time you do a podcast, you drink mustard.
and announce you're pregnant.
I keep doing weird shit over and over and I have no control. No, but like the past life stuff, I honestly couldn't tell you if I made it up or not. It's weird. It's like I had these experiences. I was describing all these lives and like there were probably 6 or 7 of them. But when I was done, I had no clue if I was seeing a past life or not. You know what I mean?
Do you remember what you remember?
Any of them?
Yeah, there were a lot of them. One of which I was like, you know, I'm deducing by my surroundings where I was like a frontiers woman and like my son was definitely away at war or whatever. There was like this feeling of deep sadness and loneliness and like being on a frontier. There was a time where I was this man. It's so dumb to have to like guess where I was. I want to say like. European country, there was like a castle.
Yeah.
And I was like a man on a horse, and I had to say goodbye to my lover, who my family said I couldn't see anymore because her family was poor. And
wow.
She was devastated. And the hypnotist was like, who is this person to you now? And I was like, that's my mother. And like,
oh,
I had broken my mother's heart in a past life.
Oh my God. Wow.
And then one of them was this really cool one where I was this, for lack of a better term, hunter-gatherer type.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say caveman, but it wasn't a caveman. It was hunter-gatherer.
Pleistocene.
Yeah, it was after that. Yeah. And I was a man, though, and I was with the other men. The women were, like, with the children at the wherever we had set up camp. And I was in this cave and saw this, like, art on the wall, and I had this feeling that is really indescribable because in that reality, you didn't see evidence of other people, and like you didn't see other people very often. And so when you saw something like that, it was like, oh, like this really intense feeling of connection that I was like, okay, that's pretty interesting to feel
that's
cool. And like not have any context for it, you know?
So your tribe hadn't done the cave painting.
No, we were stumbling on someone else's art, and we were all like, oh, shit. And I remember the circumstances were that my wife was pregnant. I don't know. That was.
And also, he could have been a hunter-gatherer whale, like, depending on where they are, he could have been hunter-gathering kind of into a period where there was civilization in other places.
Right.
And that could be an old, old, old cave painting from way before
them. Yes,
them.
100%. But in his upbringing, he had no concept of that. So that was cool. And then
you did have a wife.
Yes. But, well, not a wife. It was like my whatever.
Lover.
my fuck buddy. Whoever I shot coming to that month, I guess.
Wow. Now, did your did you have an opportunity? Did the ancient man take it, do a little sniff test and be like, it smells like fresh cut grass?
I should have used my experience. That is... smell cum and also feel like what it feels like to fuck with a dick. Why didn't I take advantage?
You should go back and go, listen, I want only jack-offs. I want only guys, only jack-offs and fucks.
I
want to
jerk off my huge dick. Let's find the guy that had the biggest dick. With the most sensitive shaft and use him for sex.
Did they ever say why the past lives is all humans? Like, is that a thing with past life regression? Like souls, it's just like human to human, human souls fit with human bodies?
I don't think, I mean, I'm sure they like, I don't know. There was this book I read called Many Lives, Many Masters. And there was like this patient of this guy that kept visiting her past lives, but she would also visit these in-between states while she was dead, basically between lives, and these like beings she would encounter. And I want to say they address the animal thing, but I don't remember. But that's a big one, isn't it? It's like, what is a soul? I don't get it. Like,
well, can I give you my theory?
Let's hear this? It. I'm very
this
curious.
Is my primary theory. My primary theory is that we, like each of us, are like nodes on a sort of larger ribbon of united self. So like there's a me, and I don't mean Anthony, but I mean there's like a consciousness of self that is that is, for lack of a better word, it's like a strand. And then the nodes that come off that strand are various manifestations in the physical world of that self. And since all time is happening at the same time outside of our measurement,
time is a flat circle type deal.
Yes. The thing that we perceive as past lives are just simply all happening at the same time, for lack of a better word. They're all occurring in conjunction in some way. If you were to, but it also breaks down that sense of like, but really, who knows? Only because I feel like it to me also makes sense that they're sort of like people you are attracted to in your life that you can't even explain how you were or how you found them. Like my wife, her brothers dated a woman for years who was the daughter of my dad's bandmate from a pretty major band in the 70s. And yet these two people, we both somehow found people in the same family that we ended up being with at the same time.
Yeah. Right? There's this concept of having traveled with different souls throughout the time.
Yes. Or are they all off of this same node? Like, is your father and John, and are we all actually in some way on this same ribbon? We just, so it's not even about like different past lives of me that like could in some ways, I'm John, John's me, you're John, and I'm you, but we're not, but there's that sense. And so therefore the idea of all knowledge, the moments, if you've ever meditated or had moments like this in your life, where you really do, like you go into a space where you're like, oh, okay.
There is no fucking difference.
I get it. I know. And you, and it's not like I know everything, like I have all the computations in my mind. It's just a sense of security of understanding that is pure, that you cannot have in this experience, in this conscious experience. So that's my like guesstimation is like, it's some version of that. You're sort of just experiencing a different organic system that manifests as these other things in time. Or the other side version of that is that you are actually in that hypnosis. If consciousness is the only explainable way you could move through time, because you can't physically move through time, you'd be destroyed. So is it possible that you aren't even having past lives, that you're actually just hypnotized and then jumping into other people's consciousness and just experiencing their consciousness? So that's my alternate theory.
Oh, it's so cool. And I didn't tell you about one of my lives. I didn't experience murdering someone, but I was fully conscious that I was a serial killer. And like one of those that just like never gets found out. Wow. Just like, you know how there's just 70s? Hundreds of serial killers that are just still out there just doing it? Yeah, yeah. It felt very 70s or 80s. And like, yeah, it was just this guy, very calm. It was very...
How did you feel knowing that you had killed people?
Fine.
Yeah.
Very fine. Calm. I like that's so the headline. Calm. Very calm.
Which is so awful.
So at peace.
I've spent, like a lot of women, spent just so too much time thinking about murderers and rapists. And just like, how do they live with themselves? It's like, well, they just have a different brain that they work with. I mean, some of them I'm sure are like really tortured, but some of them are just like, this is how I'm fine. You know,
I think Dahmer was tortured.
Yes. And he didn't want to kill people. He just wanted like to fuck people and for them to not respond. And he was trying to figure it out.
Yeah, he really was. Didn't he also doing the experiments? He was cutting the holes in the head.
Yes. Didn't he also eat them?
Yeah, well, he wanted them to be a part of him.
Right.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just.
But I'm saying that I think there are people who can have that like building pressure. Like, in other words, for them, it's like this thing happens, this itch happens, and they have to. There are some serial killers who talk about a pressure and a pain in their head that is relieved when they kill, right?
Yeah.
So I think there's people like that where it's like, mm-hmm. maybe it's a combination of trauma, head injury, genetics, whatever, where it's like a born addict that like, but it's like physical, like they have to do it in order to reset this compulsion, right? And then I think, because you could see in body language, you could just see that Dahmer is like, man, like I don't think he's like a great guy.
Dahmer's a good guy.
He's a good guy.
He's a family man.
He felt bad.
He got Mickey D's for grandma. But I'm saying, I think he did really, he felt tortured in the sense that, whereas then you see someone like Bundy, mm-hmm. who I think, even if he had the same compulsion, I think he totally was fine.
Yeah.
With what he was doing.
He was one of those guys that just kept moving and was like,
yeah,
I'm fine.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so crazy because do you ever put in your mind, sometimes when I'm watching those things, I try to put my mind as far forward into like, what if, like, one, what is the feeling after you kill someone?
Yes.
Because that is the most permanent feeling I can imagine in
my mind. I've had nightmares. I've definitely had nightmares where I've killed someone. And
so have I.
Fucking awful.
And it's I guess now I have to pay for it. That's always the dream. Now I've got to fucking pay for it, and I don't even know why I killed them.
It's so funny. I have a lot of friends who have, a bunch of people have described that dream to me, being like, I really thought I killed someone and I was going to jail. I've never had that dream.
I've never had it.
I've had dreams where I've like gleefully beaten people to death with a baseball bat, but I've never had the like guilty, oh no, what have I done? I killed someone, I'm going to jail dream.
That's really scary, John. I've never gleefully beaten.
Now you see what I'm dealing with.
Yikes!
Hey!
Holy
keep it under wraps, sweetheart.
That scares me.
I just thought about
rehabilitation of murderers way too much, too. I just think about, like, if it's possible, too much. Like,
well, I think it depends on the type of murderer.
Yeah. And I have this fantasy, and it's not like sexual, and it's not like something I ever want to happen. But I thought about making a movie about it where you're a person who's kidnapped by a serial killer and you're going to be killed. But instead, you figure, like, you sort of get them to not kill you and like break down why. And like, I don't know.
Do you kill with them as part of it? Like, are you like, I'll kill with you in order to like not die?
Maybe. I guess I want to see more of a rehabilitation take place, though. But maybe in the process that has to happen, you know?
I think a serial killer is like a, I mean, you're talking, that's like a hardcore addict, right? That's like a person who's, so that, I mean, Dexter did this you know, sort of with the idea of going to AA, you know, and like,
okay, that, gotcha. That so he idea, treated it like that.
Yeah. And I do think that there's recovery thinking that could be applied. I do think that sort of like pedophiles, I feel like serial killers and pedophiles have, you know, pedophilia, I think for not all people, and as a survivor of abuse, I can fucking talk about this. I want to hear shit from the listeners.
Okay.
I think that like there are people who suffer abuse and then act that abuse out. So I think you have people like that.
Yes,
so
that's those sort types of pedophiles.
That to me is like, are you a pedophile as much as you're mirroring your abuse? It doesn't take away from what you did, but is it really that it's an indelible thing within you, right?
Yeah.
And then I think there are people who are born with. We don't want to acknowledge that there are people born with sexual preferences that are just
abhorrent. I definitely
want to
acknowledge that and talk about it more. It makes me really sad. That
it makes me so
like
sad.
Nowhere for these people to go or like talk without being fucking turned in. Like that is the number one panic button for like America, I feel like, that everyone can agree. And it's just like, of course we don't want fucking kids raped and touched. Like, yes.
Yeah.
But like, can we please have some compassion for these actual people who are like out there?
And I think the thing is the sorting. I think you have to sort it because there are people who I think engage in it in a fashion that is in its nature malevolent.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I think there are people who unfortunately have a compulsion. And I think a lot of people who have a compulsion who never act on it. They never actually do the deed. They look at pictures or whatever. And you could argue that they are, in effect, supporting the larger industry of child sex trade. So it's not like a harmless crime.
Right.
But it's not going away. Like, it's not going away.
I've said this before. Like, that Real Doll company, you know, the company that makes, like, the Real Dolls, they were like, you know, there was some documentary on them or whatever I watched because the dolls look pretty sexy to me.
Are we getting to the point? You want one?
I'd love one. But they were like, you know, we get so many requests for child Real Dolls and we will not make that.
Never
we will not make,
make
a child.
A child
I'm like,
Real Doll.
If somebody is going
Why
out on
not?
That embarrassing limb to be like, can you make one that's a kid for me? They're going, I'm trying not to have, I know I can't have sex with kids. I'm looking for a different outlet where I'm not harming anyone. This is how I'm wired sexually.
Right.
And I don't want to do something terrible.
Yeah. And it's not like they don't make porn where they cast actors who look like children.
Yep.
You know, it's like they totally make that kind of porn. That's like, we know she's not a kid, but look at her. She really looks like a kid. It's for you guys. And it's like, we just need to like be, I don't know. I started doing a sex podcast. I host a sex podcast called What Are You Into?
Nice.
And it's really helped me like kind of expand my mind in so many different ways that I feel like I have compassion for all quote unquote sexual deviance, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, I just want people to have help to like be their sexual expressive selves.
Yeah.
Because like, honestly, if people are consenting and everyone's okay, like really anything goes, you know? And of course kids can't consent and teens can't consent. And that's great. I'm stoked that those laws are in place and that's great. But like, it just sucks how much people just like love to hop on the
the chastising like bandwagon.
Well, all you have to do is think about how powerful your own perhaps completely ordinary vanilla sexual urges are or have been
absolutely
at times in your life, how overwhelming, how impossible to deny, and just go, what if those urges that I had naturally were aimed at something that society
like necrophilia
that society felt was abhorrent or that was abhorrent, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What would you do?
Well,
you're in a bit
then,
of a pickle.
And there's a chicken or the egg thing about fantasy and fetish and deviance where you think
you take
about
that egg.
Yeah, you take that egg and put it up the chicken. that like when you think about the idea of like, so people have fantasies. I had a friend of mine who works in the adult industry said this to me. I thought she said it very apt. There's fantasy and fetish, and when fantasy crosses into fetish is where you can get into dangerous territory.
Right.
And not the type of fetish that we're talking about, like fetish as a category of sex.
Right.
But talking about fetishizing something.
Yes.
And so you really look at the idea of like, well, people might go, well, if someone's allowed to have sex with a corpse, then, you know, that next thing they're going to start killing people in order to have sex with a corpse. And you sort of go, well, is it that we are so fucking crazy? I mean, first off, we're such a crazy society. We yeah. can't even handle like gay people, like trans
Absolutely.
People.
Absolutely. We That's, can't even I mean, fucking handle that. Gay people fall under this umbrella of like, I'm in a pickle. I like men and I'm a man. Now I yeah. can't exist in 1920 or whatever.
Yeah. yeah. So like, imagine if we, imagine what a society would look like if we really were like, what as, you know, within the spectrum of not harming people, whatever floats your boat. And if you have a preference that seems to float in over that line, let's maybe we do need to create, you know, I mean, I was thinking like, you know, you think about the real doll thing, you think about the possibilities of VR and haptics mm-hmm. in the future.
Oh yes, yes.
And the idea that someone who has that type of preference, would it be enough to get them off? And listen, I don't discount the arguments that people make about does because I think you got to consider the things, do the warning that people do say of like, well, if you indulge this, will it eventually act it out in
Make
the real
them act
world?
On it.
But
yeah.
then you go, it's still a crime.
Absolutely.
And one of the things is the shame around it, both yeah. as the child
right.
and as the perpetrator, is so deep. No
and
one says anything.
These, yeah. And it leads to these explosions of abuse.
Perfect word.
Yeah, I mean, you have the enormous test case. As much as they want to say Dubs. Violent video games lead to violence,
I know.
You have decades of a test case of people playing really violent video games,
yeah.
mostly not being violent
no.
yeah.
because
yeah.
of it.
And I yeah. honestly, like, I know that you guys are into that stuff.
We're really into test cases.
Understand. No, I know you guys are into gun games.
Yes.
But and I can't get on board. Like, I'm not a person that would enjoy that. I get nervous even thinking about playing one of those games.
Oh, it's just tag. You have to realize that all the gun game is just tag. So it's yeah. not about firing the guns. It's certainly not like John and I are like, ooh, I got an AUG 713 like
right.
power
but
scope.
But it like, it's not like someone would put an actual gun in your hands and you'd get out there and feel super comfy.
No,
yeah, I wouldn't
like,
want to
even
heavy.
Touch a gun.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. No, I would immediately be afraid I would kill myself or accidentally kill somebody else. No, to me, it's like when the four of us get on and play, all we're really doing is playing tag.
Yeah.
That's all it really is. It's just a,
right.
a roided
right.
up. I mean, we talk about how this gameplay is essentially like, you know, we are like, oh my God, we're like, what did we say one time? It's like playing this game is like being like, who we are, and then jumping into like a Trump 2024 like pickup truck with like flags and like uh-huh. guns on it, and like driving around in that truck for 20 minutes and then getting out and like leaving. Cause like that game is so like the military, like we're going
right.
in there to save, and like we're fighting in Fallujah, and like it's crazy the content of the game.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But we sort of just tune all that out.
Right.
Just so we can run around and
to just
yell
play
at
and
each
chat.
Other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wouldn't Gil drive you insane on Red Dead Redemption by shooting you in the back?
Oh, yeah. Well, that game was impossible to play.
But
yeah,
Gil would like, I feel like Gil told me that he was playing a prank on one of you where he would shoot one of you in the back and act like he didn't know the.
Oh, he played a prank on us in Call of Duty years ago
yes.
where he kept killing us, and then he convinced us that somebody had hacked in and
That's
was taking
what it was.
Control
yes.
of his
That's
thing.
That's what it was.
Yes.
And we
then,
were really fools.
And then at John's house, I think it was at your house
oh
in Brooklyn
God,
where
so
it all
funny.
Broke down like months later.
Oh
yeah.
my God. The most where, pointless pranks from that man.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Oh my God.
A total waste of time. He's enjoys wasting everybody's time. That's
now, as
so funny.
As great as those games are,
oh no!
Are you ready for the greatest game?
Yeah, let's
yeah.
do it. Do you
know
play the music during it, like, or
that?
Is it in post?
No, that's added. At you'll have
that's
to. I hum the music. I do
we have
some
to pretend
humming.
It's playing, okay.
But you have to pretend it's here. It's
oh my
not
god! Oh my god!
In world yet.
All right,
Kelly Hudson, mm-hmm. are you ready to play Johnny's game?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep, I gotta do it.
Anthony, Atamanik, are you ready to play Johnny's game?
I am. Johnny's game? You mean the game where John asks leading questions where the answers are a pun, all for him to lord his intelligence over the contestants?
That one. That one exactly.
There you go.
Fuck, oh fuck.
First question, are you ready? Don't be nervous.
Okay.
Don't be nervous.
On the same, we're on different teams now, or do you still...
What do you want to do?
It's whatever you want
to
do.
I think being able to help each other would be better.
Perfect. I still help people even when I'm playing against them.
Okay.
Just so
first
you know.
Question up, Johnny's game. Please name this good wife who enjoys publishing classified government intelligence. Here's a little music for you.
The Good Wife was a show. Starring
Juliana Margulies. And say the question again, John.
Of course. Please name this good wife who enjoys publishing classified government intelligence.
Oh, fuck. Publishing classified government. Oh, fuck.
Juliana Margulies. Well, it's got to be the good wife. It's Juliana Margulies. So then what is the...
What's the thing? She publishes... She's a... What do you... Something leaks?
Oh, Juliana WikiLeaks?
No.
Juliana... Is it Juliana or Julianne?
Juliana...
No.
Well, I'm not going to tell you.
Juliana.
God. Something. Darn
leaks.
It. Please name this good wife who enjoys publishing classified government intelligence.
She enjoys it.
Well, okay. She
okay.
does it. Whatever.
Okay,
don't worry
she just
about
does
enjoyment.
It. Okay.
Edward Snowden. Julian Assange. It's Julian Assange Margulies.
Well, close enough. Julian Assangeles.
Assangeles.
Oh, come on.
Julian Assangeles.
That I think Margulies is better.
Julian Assange Margulies?
Julian Assange Margulies.
That's too many mashups.
He'll come back.
He'll come back.
I'm back.
Okay.
Wow.
Juliana Assange.
Very good. We did that together.
We did it together. Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Okay. We can do this.
So impressive.
Got through it.
We can do this.
By the way, can I say something? Everyone always, I'm sure at some point I'll get called out for this saying that it's like misogynistic or something. Mm-hmm. But I do say it to all my guests, to all our guests. You look the same as when I met you.
I do?
You literally have not aged at all. It's insane to me. I've been
astonished. I met you when I was probably 25 and I'm 39 now.
It's wild. You literally look exactly the same.
All right. That's enough really rampant sweet. Misogyny for Johnny's game.
I don't know.
was there something gross behind that I wasn't picking?
No, I don't know. But I get a little self-conscious now when I compliment people
you
on their
look
looks.
The same as when I met you.
But you
look
do.
Gorgeous,
I
mean, hon.
You are. I will say you shy. It's like shocking. You
wow.
Did, I was like, holy shit.
That's great news. Thank
you.
Yeah,
there you go.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Some more great news is on the horizon.
Okay, let's shoot another one.
Number two is coming up.
Keep that confidence up for the next question.
Please, will you please name this practice by which one uses a fish to express their feelings of anger and resentment to another person?
People, please explain this practice.
Please name this practice by which one uses a fish to express their feelings of anger and resentment to another person. And I'll give you a hint. It's a specific type of fish.
Okay, it's a specific type of fish, but it's what's a type of expressing feelings of anger and resentment? Is it like...
Frustration, rage, screaming. So there's sturgeon.
Please name this practice.
Okay, let's start naming fish.
By which one uses a fish to express their feelings of anger and resentment to another person.
Okay.
Flounder.
Is there a situation where you express feelings of anger and resentment, though?
There sure is, but you can keep listing fish if you'd like.
Okay, let's not list fish yet, because we need to know the context.
It could be a good strategy.
Okay. Okay, so I'm airing out my feelings to you.
Cod?
Okay.
Ooh. Wait. What did you just say? Say it again, Kelly.
Like you're airing your feelings to someone, like you're in therapy. Ooh, I'm airing my grievances. Okay, airing grievances.
Grievances.
Okay.
So airing.
I see John's eyes are.
Airing anchovy grievances.
No, stop.
Airing. Airing. Herring grievances.
Herring of grievances.
Oh my God, we did it. Wow, we're doing it. We're doing it.
Dead bit. We're doing it. Holy shit.
A herring of grievances.
I can't believe I'm doing Johnny's game and I got.
Two for two.
We did it together. Okay.
Final Johnny's game.
Okay, let's do it.
Now, this is just a question I have. Where can I get a gold standard COVID test, a TV, and a mattress all in one place from a guy who's always scratching himself?
God damn it. I couldn't follow you.
Where can I get a COVID test?
Where can I get a gold standard COVID test, a TV, and a mattress all in one place from a guy who's always scratching himself?
Okay, a guy who's always scratching himself, what drug is that? Is it crack? Is it a dog?
Crack?
Meth? I wouldn't go that route.
Well, hold on. Sam's Club?
Yeah, I was thinking maybe Costco.
Costco. Oh, and he goes to Costco, so it's got to be Costco.
Oh, he's a Costco boy. Gold standard COVID test. What the
crotch
fuck is that
go?
Not crotch go.
Maybe dog co? No.
Dog
no.
Co?
Because we're scratching himself, the dog.
Everybody scratches themselves.
Okay.
All species.
An itchy man. Co. An itchy.
Ooh.
He's an itchy man. Ooh, John likes itchy man.
Itchy man. Itchy man. Itchy.
Itchy man.
Karen Itchybon?
Nope. It's not soy sauce.
That's
okay,
a beer.
Sam's Club, Costco.
Oh, that's a beer.
What else? Walmart.
Itchy Kia?
IKEA wouldn't sell COVID tests.
That's true.
Itchy Kia. Okay, so TV, COVID tests.
But he said itchy. He was really excited by itchy.
But I'm also excited by the gold standard COVID test, the TV, and the mattress. All in one place.
All in one place.
A guy who's always scratching himself.
From a guy who's always, so it's a name.
It's gotta, Costco's the only place that I know of, but John's not giving me any. No.
Costco. Crustco.
Itchy.
Sam's Itchy Club.
What about that darn gold standard COVID test?
What's the gold standard? What the hell standard? Does that mean?
Well,
what is the gold standard in COVID test?
It's not the antigen. It's not the rapid test.
Oh, PCR?
PCR Richard and Son.
PCR Itchard and Son.
What about PC Richard and Son? Oh my God.
PCR Itchard and Son.
Gold standard.
Okay, so the COVID test isn't actually available
there. What you should have said was
here's the portion of Johnny's game where we find out what I should have said. Tony, tell him what I should have said.
When Anthony says what you should have
said. Well, here's the thing. A PCR test, which is a polymerase chain reaction.
Uh-huh.
But it's also a nose swab, and it is...
considered the gold standard.
It is considered the gold PCR. Standard, so I guess that's true. And yes, the PCR test has been the gold standard test for diagnosis.
I wouldn't say it if it wasn't vetted. I vet all the details.
I just had to, I just got caught up in, yeah, okay.
PCR itch.
I know, we all were thinking rapid tests.
Yeah, I was thinking Costco.
That's not the gold standard, that's rapid.
Costco's the only place that this could...
Okay. PC.
Well, you got Richard. 3 for 3.
And you know what's funny? John, I can't believe that.
John named two things I got at PC Richard. I bought a TV once from there, and I also did get a mattress from there one time. So there's a real biographical element to this.
Is that a nationwide chain, or is that just East Coast?
It's just got to be New York, right? Because I feel like I've seen it only in Manhattan or Brooklyn.
No, I've never seen PC Richard out of there. That was a good Johnny's game. I can't take too much criticism. And we won all three. I mean, I think this might be the first time that there was a legitimate win.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like someone was nailing it. Oh, Shannon O'Neill was nailing it.
Shannon nailed it to the wall.
That was terrifying.
Oh, you're right. Shannon did nail it to the wall.
I have a really hard time thinking about puns in general. Like if someone just even just shoots one at me and says one, I'm like,
oh, that makes me crazy.
What? I get it.
Yeah, wow. It makes me nuts. This was so wonderful, by the way.
Oh, I loved it.
It really was wonderful. We went in all these wonderful corridors that I'm excited about. And I want to talk to you now later about, because you know I got tons of books on hermetics and I do a lot of
I want to hear all of stuff. I want you to hypnotize me. I want to take Anthony's class 10 years after you were offering it. 12 yeah. years.
Yeah, yeah. I'll do a solo.
I'm ready for it. I'll pay you any amount.
Oh, yeah, that's it. I mean, I was like, oh, I could make this a brand of meditation.
You need this money.
Yeah, now that the UCB's reopened and they got all that Palantir money.
Sorry, are you serious? They reopened?
Oh, yeah.
They've been
purchased.
Purchased by venture capitalists in their
How do you reopening. Feel about that? For some reason, I feel devastated or like sick.
I mean, feel non-emotions.
I feel indifferent about it. Feel like...
I felt relieved that it was over or something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not over?
No, that time is over for us. That it's been over for us for a long time.
Yeah, that's true. That's
and
true.
It was, it was an experience that was about all of us that we've carried with us into our lives and has very little to do with the institution except for the fact that we all gathered there.
Absolutely. Our little high school where we got drunk and made out in the back hallway. And
I never got to do that.
Took Adderall. And
you didn't?
You didn't make out with
you
anyone?
You did a little bit.
I did on my very first Herald team. Yeah.
I was like, who?
No.
Okay, we won't go
there. Well, this is so wonderful.
Way.
Do you have anything you'd like
to plug? I mean,
you have your baby, your podcast.
Yeah, my podcast.
And your baby.
Check out my podcast. What are you into? What?
And your baby.
Yes, my baby will arrive in September, hopefully.
We'll watch
let's hope for September 11th.
Woo. Oh, yeah. I thought about that. I was like, what if that was my due date? Holy
my
shit.
My God, that would be great.
That'd
what
be
an
so
awesome
cool, right?
birthday to have.
That's
like being born on November 22nd. You're like, I was born the day Kennedy got blown away.
Blown away. Oh my God. Okay,
what else do I have to say? Okay.
Okay. So what are you into on Instagram? And you can find it on any podcasting platform if you want to hear some open, honest conversations about sex. Hit it up, folks. And that's kind of all I got right now. Okay.
Hey, that's great. That's all we got is this show.
Okay,
so we're all doing all we got.
Okay, good.
All right. Well, thank you. And
goodbye.
I think this is goodbye. Right,
okay.
John? Are we not going to do another? We're not going to redo, right?
No. Did you want to do the closeout thing?
Oh, yeah. I forgot. Hey, everybody. First off, you're listening to this show. You know what? And we're sponsored probably by someone. And you know what you need to do? You need to go to that website. You need to use the offer code and buy something. Maybe. At minimum, go to the site. Link to the site from our podcast. Just link to the site. You have no idea how important it is even to just go there. We would love for you to purchase something, but just going there matters. I cannot tell you how much I've ignored this listening to other people's podcasts and now learning how important it is. If you want us to keep doing this podcast, it's not a fucking charity. So you do your part. Secondly, review the podcast, like the podcast, give it 5 stars, write a little paragraph about it on Apple reviews. It's easy to do. You should do it. All you have to do on Spotify is literally click a 5-star thing. Vote 5 stars. If you think it's 4 stars, give it 5 and then write about how you think it's 4 stars in the comments. Do not give it less than 5 stars. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you, Kelly.
Thank you. Love you,
we
Kelly.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.